What's new, my people? You know what it's Don Tony Teflon, Fill the Issues guy. This is the first ever episode of Escaping From, where we bring on someone from the cast to break down the episode that just aired. This is episode one from season two. It's back in the building. Phil, how are you?
I am doing great. What an amazing first episode. It feels like it's been so long, and we've been waiting and talking about it, and the episode delivered. I can't wait to talk about it tonight, Tony, and we got a great guest.
We do have a great guest joining us, and let's say what up to everybody in the chat. Thank you all for coming out here and rocking with us. It truly was a great episode, and you know, you don't get episodes like that usually. You know, sometimes they rest on their laurels, but this one got you right off to the right track. It hit the ground running. So let's bring in our guest. Without further ado, she is the one, she is the only. You know her as Donna, but her name is Liz.
Hello.
Oh, I'm sorry. We have to go. There we go. There you go. Thank you for joining us. We are so happy to have you.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad I'm here.
Season two is in the building right now, and it has just been amazing. How long did it take y'all to shoot that season?
5 months.
5 months?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not bad at all, 5 month shoot. Not bad at all. They seem to turn over the show pretty fast. Thank God for us, because I'm used to waiting for a long time.
They really wanted to get it out and get it out there without too much of a split. So they got moving on it fast.
And that's so important. Nowadays, sometimes you'll wait 2 or 3 years in between seasons of something. And as much as it did feel like a long wait, it was so great to get into it so quick again.
Thank you. It felt good, too, for us to, like, be back on.
Yeah, to keep the work more consistent and kind of stay in character. And it showed tonight. And I'm going to get this out of the way, just because whatever, you had an amazing episode. The fact that we're talking to you tonight after tonight, you had so many amazing one-liners. I felt like this was one of your best episodes. You got a lot of really good stuff to do tonight. I'm not even expecting a response. I just want to, like, fanboy on you for a second. Just really great episode.
Thank you. It was doing it. I read the first, every episode I read, I'm like, what? But I had some really great stuff this season.
So. Yeah, it seemed like maybe this was the most airtime you've gotten in one episode. It seemed like this was your episode, without a shadow of a doubt. You would star this episode, and you had to get all the new people in place. And if it wasn't for you, none of that would have happened. You know, so out there saving lives and everything else. Let's say what up to people in the chat real quick. We got Mara Chase in the building rocking with us right now. Kill Your Ego is up in here. Brock Savage is in the building right. Red Lipstick Club Anna is in the building with us right now. Laverne Morris is up in here rocking with us. Thank you all for coming and everything else. And again, you can call in 781-990-8509, 781-990-8509, Escaping From, and we will get your question out there. All right, Phil, we're going to start the recap. Ready? Want to roll with it?
Absolutely. So this episode opens up. We get a really great recap from last year, which is important because one thing that happened, and we talked about this a lot in the offseason, Tony, I feel like so many more people, Liz, got into this show in the last 2 weeks since it's been on Amazon.
I know. That's what I've heard. Like it's sort of like zoomed up in terms of viewership once they put it on Amazon, which is great.
Yeah. And as much as we wanted it, I think, to be on earlier, it was great that the timing of it right before the season, because in this television cycle, things can zip past people's perspectives after they binge it. And it was almost perfect timing.
Well, that's great. Cause I know people, things do slip by for sure. Like, and I didn't even realize that, you know, there's been some shows took a couple of years to kind of for people to find them.
Yep.
And then became huge.
Oh yeah. I mean, Breaking Bad is probably the biggest show of them all that nobody knew about until it went to Netflix. Yeah.
Which that was the main one that I was like, what? And I mean, I didn't know about it till, you know, everybody started talking it up. And now it's just so hard to believe that people didn't just immediately.
Oh, it was winning awards and no one knew what it was. And it was still winning awards. You know, that's how good that show was. And that's how good this show is. Now that exposed to a bigger audience, I know that this show potential to me is I mean, I think the ceiling is The Walking Dead, and I think it could hit that ceiling easily. So it's a great character-driven story, because a lot of times when you deal with horror situations like this and these story box things, it's a fine line to walk, because you don't want to show the creatures too much, right? But then everyone wants to see the creatures, but you don't want it to become boring when they show up.
Yeah.
So I think they do a really good job of, you know, letting the characters breathe and letting that breathe in between.
Yeah. And that's what I love about it. I love having a character-driven story. And I think it's just getting tighter and tighter with all the threads that are weaving through.
Yeah. And I think it does definitely, as Tony said, that Walking Dead ceiling. And I think some of those character elements that get brought through from Lost as well. And you can feel that connective tissue of digging into these characters and trying to understand why they're there and how they fit into everything. And I think that's starting to feel, even in this first episode, starting to feel like it's coming together even more with the different layers of the different time periods there. And it starts really at the beginning of this episode with another amazing song. And we don't talk about this enough, Tony and Liz. It's the music on this show, and with everything with the jukebox, picking Dylan here with the hard rains washing in, mixed with that intro with Boyd walking through the streets in the dreamlike way, really sort of set the scene for the ride we're going to go on tonight. It's really
beautiful. I love the music on our show. Just love the choices.
Do you know who has to do with picking them? Is that Jack Bender? Is that come from?
I'm sure Jack would have a say in it. There is. I don't know his name, and I feel awful because I actually sought it out last year. Who was? And I just don't remember.
I'll IMDb it at some point before the show.
Yeah,
let's just give a special shout out to whoever does the music.
Oh.
Excellent audio design and. And everything in Boyd, we were talking a little bit about this before the show started. When you get to see Harold be Harold and do all those years of experience, the beginning of this episode, see this with the shaking and the night is dark and filled with horrors, Tony. It was such a great, great beginning here as the rain starts falling.
Yeah, he was definitely channeling his character from Oz being in the cell blocks, being put back in solitary confinement. I've seen it come right back out of him.
He was Augustus Hilder.
Yeah.
So it was definitely a great way to begin the show too, and I like the way that they went back in time to show us, because the last season started, they show us the bus arrive, so now they show us from the perspective of the bus people arriving in there and everything that happened with you, your character, and Jade and everyone up there when they were at the Colony House putting up the watchtower and stuff. So I like the fact that they went back there and showed us all that, and they fleshed that out a little
I like more. That too.
And
it's all caving in, and you don't have, you know, as the audience member, that no time has passed whatsoever. It's like bang, bang, we're picking up exactly in that moment.
And that's the toughest thing to do. That's the toughest thing to do from a last season. But you are absolutely right. That interwoven style makes it seem seamless.
Yeah, no, I loved that. And it was clear, you know, clear in the script. But then when you actually watch the episode, you're like, oh, this is like the second after. And we're right in there. And that bus is pulling up. And I loved the way they did that.
It is beautiful. The chat is loving it as well. We got lots of people. Make sure if you haven't, you hit that like button. Keep the calls in. We'll get to the voicemails in a second, but keep calling in, and can't wait to hear what some of you guys have to think. But as Tony was saying, we cut back. We see Harold in the jail cell or whatever it is, kind of like Bruce Wayne in The Dark Knight Rises. He tries to climb up and then he falls down. He can't quite rise till the end. And Harold gives probably, and this was the Oz moment, Tony, he gives one of the best swear line reads where he's like, like that was just it was so funny. And that's what he can bring, that horror and comedy together. He's done it since his first role, since Romeo and Juliet in Baz Luhrmann's, like that comedy and the horror mixed within his performance so well. That's such a such a characteristic of his performance. And then, as Tony was saying, we cut to the bus and we meet our new character, Elgin, who's listening. Speaking of the audio design, perfect transition to him listening to it in his headphones, and Elgin's freaking out. So let's get to Elgin freaking out. I know Liz, you can only say so much. But Tony, what do you think is causing Elgin to freak out there?
Well, it seems that everybody who comes on this show, obviously he had some type of dream. And the dream he's seen something that made him want to turn around. But it was too late then. The dream was so upsetting to him that it made him throw up. So it had to be something, you know, that he seemed mutilated, I would think. Some type of horror thing that would make him actually vomit. It just couldn't have been. It must have seemed so real to him that that's what caused him. And then a little bit later, obviously, we see him have the seizures and stuff. And we've seen anyone in this show who has had a seizure or associated gets a connection with this town some way. They're able to communicate with it somehow. So obviously, he's very important just for that reason alone.
We'll take Liz's nodding for you being 100% right, of course.
100% right. And there's things I don't know. I'm not being cagey. Mm-hmm. There are things I don't know. I'm just going to say, like, you are on a good track there.
There we go. Then we deal see you. And I think that the Jade scene, he's outside and he's just, and you're trying to hustle everybody in. The one girl, she's got glass in her eye and you've seen it pull out, you know, it's a, And they show the little juice when he pulled it out. Just trying to hustle around. And Jay just like, Donna, there's a bus outside of Donna. And your face, you turn around. Now, Donna, your character, you've been there for a very long time. You were there before Harold. But even you were shocked when he said that. Like, you've seen other people come, but nothing like this
before. Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, and that's it. Yeah, I think it's just it's two things. It's the potentially who and how many on that bus, and in the middle of all this crisis, how the hell are we gonna deal with whoever is on that bus? You know.
Yeah, because it's a bus. It's not like it's a car. Well, hey, it's a car pulls up maybe five the most, or you know what I mean? Now we're talking about 25, 30 people could be potentially on that bus, if not more.
And it's nearly nightfall,
yeah,
right? So we got to make sure we don't have all day to convince them.
Yeah, it's not like it's in the morning and we have time for the bus driver to drive around in circles and get used to this. She's being an obstinate bus driver. It's like, everyone get on the bus and you're reaching this breaking point. And then we have obviously everything going on with Jim's house too. When we get back on the bus, this is maybe you can tell us this so we don't have to keep calling this guy not quite Chris Evans. But we get the not quite Chris Evans guy on the bus that grabs grabs Elgin.
Oh, you mean AJ Simmons. Oh my God, it's terrible. I can remember. That's the actor's name. Yeah. That's AJ Simmons.
We'll call him AJ. AJ
is good for me.
Okay, we'll start with AJ. I'm just having a horrible seniors moment.
AJ seems a little testy. And, you know, to me, you know, it's like this to me. Like, we've seen a little bit of him. He does seem a little testy. Obviously, you know, he's willing to. He shows some good compassion when he's in there with Jim and he's trying to get Tabitha out. He touches him and he says, listen, we're going to get your wife out. Yeah. So he's not all like a terrible person, but he does seem like. You know, he's a little testy, like he's got a short fuse.
He got a quick trigger.
Yeah, and
Randall. His name is Randall.
Randall. All right, Randall. And to me, I think you need a Randall. I do. I think you need somebody like that in there because I think when I, like, if it was me and I was in there, you may have me scared for the first whatever. But after this, the scary, I'm going to get upset about this whole situation. And then I'm going to say, we're going to have to do something. We got to take it to these creatures a little bit. And Randall may be the guy to mobilize some people and say, listen, let's go on the offensive on these creatures eventually. Mm-hmm. It's sometime this season. So that's why I like, that's what I think he is. Hopefully that's what he does. Because I do think you guys have to start going on the offensive on this. Not that you go into anything like that, but I think that's my personal. At some point, you gotta start trying these creatures and stuff and start getting at them a little bit.
Right. Well, Randall is a live wire.
Yeah.
Like what you see is indicating what you're going to get.
Nice. And it seems like he's like Jade kind of brought that a little bit last season to motivate. But this guy seems a little bit more proactive physical, and to some couple people said in the live chat, and you were hinting at this too, Tony, he seems prickly, but he also seems like he's a hero. Like there's some hero in there. He was the first one to want to rush to go help Jim. He calmed Jim down. We'll get to that scene in a moment. But when he's like, "We're gonna get your wife," and almost like he was, someone asked if he was a cop or something. Almost like he was a soldier, a cop. Like he was just trying to like break into the situation. So we'll have to check on Randall as we go. But he definitely seems to have a hero stuff, and he seems to, no pun intended, have a little bit of the Teflon stuff where everyone else gets hurt in the house and he comes out, he's like, "Oh, nothing, I'm fine." He's brushing himself off. You know, people getting glass in the eyes, like, no, I'm fine, I'm walking okay. You know,
he had a little stagger when he first came out. He did a little shimmy.
He did a little shimmy.
But again, I think you need someone of all personalities, you know. You know, when you go out in a group, I mean, I grew up in Queens, New York, you always have certain guys who fit one role. Like when we go out, we had the tough guy with us, we had him, then we had the guy who could pick up all the girls, and you had the funny guy, and you always have someone who fits one role and everything else, you know. And I think that we were lacking that role so far, or maybe people have been accustomed. Is that what you think, Don, that they've been there so long? Because listen, it is a cushy life. You have a lot of weed to smoke, it doesn't seem like food is running out, and it seems like there's women available. So some people, this may be better than their actual life when people before they were the outside. Some people may dislike being up. Do you think that that's what happened? People just got too content on saying this is just what it is and this is what's going to be, so why fight it? Let's just go through with it.
I think there is an element of that. I don't know that I'd call it cushy, but I think there are people that have kind of resigned themselves to, like, as long as we can stay safe at night, we ain't getting out. Like, so I think we have that mix, and I think people get Donna does. Donna, I think, has mixed feelings about getting out.
I mean, Donna had a great scene with, I think it was Kenny last season, when Kenny, something about be careful if when we do leave, some of the things that you're going to, that you will miss. I think that's something to that effect. So and we've talked about being institutionalized by this place, and I know if when you guys have found, or your characters have found a life there. So there is probably an element of that. And now things start to change as everyone combines and it's less two separate forces in the town as a whole. Yeah. And that's part of what you were talking to Kenny tonight. Donna was talking to Kenny tonight about you need to step up and be the sheriff and back me up like Boyd would if he was here.
Yeah. It's interesting what you were just saying about that discussion. I was thinking about how, you know, many people just in life stay with the status quo, right? Like
for years, sometimes.
They just go, okay, this is, I think many of us have done that in during our lives. We're going, well, this is where I live. This is what I do.
I think that, in the movie, The Bronx Tale, he says it the best, right? He says it, Sonny says it, nothing worse than wasted talent. And I think that people get content. Yeah. They get put in a situation where, all right, I'm making good enough money. I'm surviving. I'm paying my bills. This is not really the dream I had for myself, but I'm happy with it. And then instead of just going out on a limb and say, hey, maybe you have to lose a little bit of money, take a couple of steps back, but just to get to where you're going. And I think that maybe that's what's going on here. People there could be content and everything else. And, you know, marijuana helps everything out.
Definitely does not hurt.
You see Jade up there. He's like, this is my last paper, and I'm going to save it. Put his feet up on the balcony. I'm going to save it this moment.
And I think it's hilarious right now how much the live chat wants is saying that the bus driver's days are numbered. Donna should have hit the bus driver. We're getting a lot of that in the chat now.
It seemed like it. And at one point, when she's like, get out of my way, and you jump in front of her, you're like, how you ain't going nowhere. And then it cuts the scene. I was like, that's my crawl right now. It's about to be a slug And we already
didn't take to her. Donna didn't take to her too well.
Now we've seen your right hand too when it lands, so we already know what happens right to your husband.
Right? We haven't seen him since.
Real life husband. You see how it lands, knocks people out. So she better watch herself messing with Donna. She better watch herself, that girl. And the Red Lipstick Club says two alpha women. It does seem that way, you know. It does seem like that way. Yeah. So, you know, Adamo, I would say, is used to being the person in charge, the person that everyone goes to and everything else. Do you think that could be a thing with her and the bus driver, that she feels like maybe I'm not losing?
Well, the potential is certainly there. Yeah.
And let's get to a couple of voicemails before we get back into the recap of the episode. Speaking of Anna, this is from Anna at Red Lipstick Club.
Hey, Phil. Hey, Tony. Hi to Wiz as well. Glad that you're back on the channel. This is Anna from Red Lipstick Club. So I love the character Donna because she's totally badass, but feels like your neighbor, woman that could be baking pies next to you. And it kind of gives me a feeling of The Last of Us character, Kathleen. So how are you feeling, or how do you feel about seeing more strong women characters that are like leading groups or leading, leading revolutions, and they're like normal women, everyday women that you run into, instead of like the Lara Croft prototype? And how are you bringing your like real life experiences into your character? And thank you for joining. We love having you.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to try and answer your questions. I just, from audio for me, just cut out a little bit. So I think you were asking about seeing more kind of strong.
Yeah, that aren't, she was saying, how do you feel about seeing more strong woman characters that aren't, you know, army leaders, that are more everyday women and not the Lara Croft profile, so to speak?
Yeah, no, I'm all for it. I'm all for it because I think, like, really a lot of women in real life are doing it every single freaking day and not getting credit for it. So I love the, like, I mean, Donna's kind of an archetype and it's a bit bigger, but that there are women everywhere that are way tougher than we're giving them credit for. And so I'm all for it. I want to see it more and more and more.
I don't know if you could answer this, but Big Daddy in 19.
Yeah, I was going to ask, funny Tony, I was going to ask the same question. Great, great question.
Leave it for you. I don't want to cover your face, but it says, was Donna in control in real life like she was at Colony House, or did that gradually come to her?
My belief is that there was always an element of it, but I think she always took second to her sister. I think she had a tough mom. And I think she had to sort of step up when she ended up here. So it's like, it's notched her up. I think seeing her sister get eviscerated by the monsters and she didn't step up. So now she's stepping up.
The thing about Donna and about your character is like, you do everything, right? You are able to be strong enough to try to save these people's lives. You know, when you have to get Kenny, like, Kenny, it's time, you know, suck it up. You can be strong. But when it comes down to Julie and you see Julie's out there and her dad is stuck in there, you know, then the motherly Donna comes on. Like, listen, I was here a year before Boyd found them talismans and I survived every night. Your dad's going to be okay. So do you like playing a character that has all these different dimensions as Donna?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's really great to do that because it's not often we get to get that range of showing that range of emotion and that range of behavior. That it's a gift, really, what John's written for me is Donna.
So much fun. So much fun to be able to do that. So getting back a little bit into our recap, after the bus, I'll yada yada some stuff because we have already talked about it as we're back at the Colony House. Tony talked about this scene as everyone is scattered about outside. Don is handling things inside as Jade is handling things outside. He slips and falls and gets a view of the bus and he's like, fuck me. And then we cut into Julie in there who's trying to ask Donna what's happening with her dad, and Donna is getting everyone to higher ground. And,
yes.
And then something, a wood beam or something smashes through the window and Donna's, okay, this was a scene I wanted to talk about. Tony mentioned this earlier. You have amazing comedic timing where Jade comes over to you and is like, Donna, 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 Donna. And you just turn to him, what? It was just a great moment. Great, almost sitcom timing on that. That was just great.
Oh, thanks. That's, you know, also David just makes it so easy to react to him. He's just like, he's just a force. So
you guys have excellent chemistry. I wrote that right below my notes, like excellent chemistry between Jade and Dawn. I hope we get to see them do more this season. You two bounce off each other really well.
I'd love to do more with him.
And someone in the live chat says, what did they say? I think Victor freak out was because the monsters have seen his parents. Read my comment. We'll get to that scene.
Yeah, and I would tell everybody here in the chat, we're going through the recap. I know everyone has a bunch of theories and everything else. And we will do a full theory stream Wednesday. And we'll talk about all the theories and everything else. We'll talk about my girlfriend behind me and everything else. We'll go through all that stuff. You know what I mean? So you can put it in there. We'll try to get to it and everything else, but obviously she can't say anything about that. So we'll get more into that when it's just us, you know, it's just us doing that and stuff. But we'll recap everything and thank everyone for coming out here. Subscribe to the channel, call in 781-990-8509. And this is also available as a podcast where all podcasts can be found. So you can go if you want to drive around and listen to it and everything you can. With that. So yeah, Donna, you had a lot going on. You had the new people coming. You got a broken window you got to fix. The sun is going down, right? It's raining outside. Then all of a sudden the rain just stops. Comes out of nowhere. And this is a downpour rain. It comes down, you know, and this wind that blew. What was that that came through the window? I actually couldn't tell.
Yeah, some beam or some sort of.
It was a big beam. And you know what? I honestly can't remember what it was part of. Like if it was part of something holding up the tower or if it was part of the house, I can't remember.
Yeah,
but it was a good shot and we just got Ethan out of the way. Ethan was gonna hit.
See, a lot of people probably did not even see that. Go back and watch that scene, you'll see. Chris Wiz, thank you. Tony Teflon is our boy helping us figure out what the heck is going on. And so I do my best.
Do you remember how many times it took you guys to shoot that with it coming through the, was that like the one shot through there? Or did they shoot that a couple different times?
It wasn't many times. Like, and it was all done, you know, different shot. Like that came through the window once, I think, but yeah, we did lots of stuff around it.
Nice. And I did leave an email in the live chat for any international people that may want to record voicemails for us to play, as we know that it might be harder for you guys to give that number a call. So my email is in the live chat. Feel free to send a message that way as well to play on the show. So the wooden beam goes through. Donna and Jade have some amazing comedic business. Off to Jim, to his house, yelling for Tabitha. There's a giant hole in the floor. And it's a mess and he's yelling for her. We'll yada yada that till we get to the actual important business of that. Then we're off to one of the more, or there's a lot of interesting stuff going on in this episode, but everything with Victor and Tabitha underground where the creatures live was so layered and textured to kind of learn more about the lore of the monsters, like more than we've gotten.
Yeah.
So great. Such
now,
great stuff.
When you see, is this the first time you've seen that stuff, that all these other scenes that you weren't in? Is this the first time you've seen it when it aired, or did you see this?
When we did the premiere, I'd seen some early screeners, and then that, the premiere the other night was the first time. So all that new information, I love that I get to see it after.
I do too. Don't be mad at me. I don't want people getting mad at me. But when I see Tabitha and Victor inside of this, and Victor's like, we need to be quiet. And Tabitha, chatty patty. Tabitha, he will not take it. Victor. Victor's like, shh. They're sleeping. It's time. This is not the time, Tabby. Come on, Tabby. You gotta slow it down a little bit for me, girl. That's what I would have been saying. That's what I choose. It's a chatty patty boy going through that tunnel. I'm like, you got to slow it down a little bit right here. What she went through. But that was very interesting. All the stuff down there and everything.
I will probably go back and look at it again myself. Like what different things, like that ball coming through and the Inukjuak and.
Yeah, the ball coming through and the knock. Thank you, Kenan Lampier, for subscribing. Coming through with the knocking down and then the little girl. I'm assuming that's a girl. We can't tell. It's hard to tell. It looks like a girl's face. It's in behind the bars. Phil, it looks like a girl to you too.
It does. In the ball in that the Jenga thing looked to me. We'll get to that. Looked like they were playing bowling. It looked like it was somebody in there playing a game. It looked like they were trying to roll and knock down the pins, and it was someone kind of playing with them. At least that was my impression of it. And one a follow up question to what Tony was asking, Liz: when you get your script, did you get those scenes, or did you just get the pieces that you were a part of? So did you have any hint on what was coming in those scenes, or that was completely new to you?
No, we get the full script.
Okay, cool.
Of course, the full script, we'll get new pages and it'll change. And, you know, sometimes, you know, when you're my age, you forget things you read. which is great for me when I watch the show.
And it's completely different. I'll be honest, as someone that's done fraction of the act, you know, I've done some stage work. There's a little bit of that yada 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 my part yada yada yada. When you're highlighting a script, you pay more attention to the scenes that you're a part of.
Well, yeah, I try to be good and really focus on the whole thing. But of you course. Increasingly do.
You're pay a professional. More attention.
Yeah, you increasingly start going, okay, I got to get my shit together. But you do need to hold, you know, you need to know what you're contributing to in the story. But it changes. And then there's just so many visuals that are not on the page. Like, you know, I can't remember if it was or wasn't, but when the ball rolled into the Inukchuk, I don't remember that being written in the script. It may have been, but like, you know, you know what they come up with is the props,
yeah,
and how they play out. They're all new to us.
So cool, Tony. We have a message from Australia from Carla Waynes.
I've never heard Carla's voice like regular. So only when she's singing. So this is very exciting.
Let's see if this works.
Guess not.
And you still haven't heard her voice.
I still have not. She's a beautiful. She's a great singer.
Could you guys not hear that?
No, we did not hear it. You heard it?
No, I heard it. Let me work. Let me work on it. Let me see if I can figure this out. Give me.
So people are saying an Inukchuk. Inukchuk or Inukchuk is a type of stone landmark or a Quran built by and used by the Inuit people and other people of the Arctic region of North America. Now, I looked at it. I looked it up, and that's what I thought it was prior to this season when I first seen the picture of it. We call it the Jenga block because it's just easier for us to say the Jenga block for everything else. But yeah, I think that, again, the show, it does a great job because you go from that scene, from the scene we're at to this scene with Tabitha and to keep the pace, right? To keep you interested. And when a show was really good to me is when it seems like it was only 15 minutes. And I just watched 40 minutes of a show and I'm like, it's over already? It's really over? And that's what I got watching this first episode. But all the craziness that was going down and everything and all the landmarks and the things that they have in there, you know, the dummy, you know, the ventriloquist dummy sitting there. And you see that twice. You see it once with Jade has a vision of it. And then we see it sitting down in there and everything else down there. So it's just a bunch. I heard that. You heard something.
Oh, I do. I think I have it now whenever you're ready for it.
All right, let's roll with it.
Okay, let's see.
G'day, folks. It's Carla calling in from down under. Wow, what a first episode. I think we have more questions than answers, but nonetheless, I am so excited for the rest of season two. I do have a question for Elizabeth. By the way, I love Donna's character, and we know she's the fierce leader of the Colony House, but I wanted to know, Elizabeth, what would you choose, Colony House or town? Anyway, I'm enjoying catching up with everybody in the stream each week, and have a good one.
Yeah, everybody put up, if you're a member of the channel, we just put new emojis in there. We have the Donna emoji. Put the Donna emoji up in the chat for your girl now. For your girl Liz being here tonight. And if you're a member, you also get you're safe. You get the talisman marked right now. So if you're not a member, you may not be safe. So maybe you want to become a member and get that talisman next to your name too. I'll put that up there for your girl. All right, Liz.
Where would you live personally?
Okay. It's a twofold answer because I have family. So if I landed there by myself, I'd definitely pick Colony House. But if I landed there with my family, I might stay in town and for our own just home.
Yeah, I said that I would hang out at Colony House, but I'm living by myself. I can't rock with people like that. I can only be for so long. You know what I mean? I need space. I just need to be in my own space. So I would definitely chill there all day. You know, I would be up there. You would think I lived there. I'd be there so much. You know what I mean? But when that 10 minutes to get home, I'll see you guys later.
Yeah.
I'm going back to my house and everything else.
Yeah, Tony,
everyone's putting the Donna. I wish you could see it. They're putting it all in there and everyone loves it. The Donna emoji in the chat and everything.
Oh, I can't see it. Can I see? I want to see the chat.
Oh,
can I see the chat?
I can send you a link to it. If you look in let me send.
Oh, hold on. Holy crap, I can see numbers on the side. I'm not sorry.
I think you see the chat that we see here, right? The
I just
melon,
see
the melon chat, but not the you'd have to be on the YouTube channel, I think it is.
Okay. It might be better that I don't look, because if I look, I'll be preoccupied.
And I can't live in Vegas, but I can visit there. So I'm kind of the same way. I'd probably want to live alone, but I'd want to take some day passes to go hang out and smoke and chill up at Colony.
Right.
You know, you have to have those moments to do that in that situation. So I and a lot of people that I've just said I would live on my own. Most people I think would. It's tough. I mean, it also depends. Me right now at my age right now, or my like 22 or 23 years old, I might be more apt to be like, oh, I'll hang out at Colony House all the time. But you know, the way I am now, I need my alone time. I don't care if I'm stuck in Frumtown.
I think it's hard for me to answer too, because I you know, I associate it so much with Donna that I can never say now that it's like, oh, I wouldn't go to Colony House. Liz has to go to Colony House.
Yeah.
Unless she brings her family, and then she will go and get her family house.
Yes. Yes. I agree. I think that's the best way to do it. There's no other way. Especially if you have your family. You know, the Matthews they made the right choice, but the rules go by. It was a little weird to me. I don't understand it. Is there a certain age when you're just allowed to make the choice for yourself? Like you had the daughter, Julie, was able to choose what she wanted to stay. Is there like an age limit there? Like, all right, Julie, 16, you could choose. You get to choose. Is it a ceremony? Is this a feeling they do?
As far as I know, it's just sort of a feeling. And if I recall correctly, Donna just kind of stepped in and went, girl made her choice.
Yeah.
Last season. So I don't know if that's and Boyd didn't argue. So I don't know if they actually have an age, or if it is just if someone says that's where they want to go, they're going to be listened to, unless they're five.
Then we don't want to.
they're determined five.
Yeah. If Ethan was like, I want to hang out with Victor there.
Stay with your mama, boy.
We don't want you over here. This is from area code 318.
Hey, this is Vernicia, and I am calling from Louisiana. I am a fan of both of you. You guys are awesome.
Oh, thank you.
My question or comment, actually, is I found it really interesting that Ethan said to Jade that Victor was playing his part and that Jade had a part to play, too, in the quest. So what was that about? Tell me your thoughts, guys.
Absolutely. And I think everything Ethan says is important. I don't know about you guys.
Ethan, whatever comes out of his mouth is the most important thing. And they make it, and this is how they do it. They try to trick you by putting it out of a kid's mouth. So you don't pay as much attention to it. Exactly. But what he says is the most important things in the show. As for Jade's part in this quest, obviously we have seen Jade have visions too. Of this same symbol that keeps popping up. And I'm going to make a video on this, but since y'all are here live right now, and Liz's not going to be able to comment on this because obviously, be y'all here live, I'm going to give you part of this video next. Ethan says specifically when he brings up the symbols, Ethan goes to him. He says, he goes, you got to watch, be careful about symbols. He goes, why? He said, because there are good symbols and there are bad symbols. And then mm-hmm. they pause when he says that. And then he goes, you have to make sure. Now, people may have slipped and said, maybe. And he said, bad symbols could make you do bad things.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So now we got to look at this symbol. Is this symbol a good or a bad symbol? If it was just a good symbol, in my opinion, they wouldn't even have brought that up. The fact that they brought that up must mean that there is a bad symbol out there. And it says bad symbols could make you do bad things. So last time that we've seen that person, we've seen the person that had that symbol in that book with Victor, that was the time that the town got slaughtered back then. So I would have to assume that. Now, we assume that it was the monsters that slaughtered that town. But we have seen other people lose their mind before. When we look at Boyd's wife, who lost her mind and started shooting people.
Mm-hmm.
Did she see a symbol or something like that that did not show that caused her to do that? So is it a possibility that Jay could possibly lose his mind and start doing bad things? That's what I took from it, because that's how I work in my head. I could be wrong about this whole thing, but that's what I took from it and everything else. And I don't expect you to comment on this or anything, you know, but I'm just answering the question real quick. Thank you for the Super Chat, Cat. We got the Super Chat. And thank you for Bram, Boyd, Trini, who just subscribed. Welcome to the family. We're glad to have you here and everything.
Absolutely.
All right. That was my little...
Yeah, we were, and again, like we don't even want to indirectly put you on the spot, Liz. So feel free to ignore us if we ask any questions that get to.
Oh yeah, point. Yeah, I will.
Now,
I
feel,
will.
Feel free to be like, give us that Donna look, and we'll be like,
yeah,
oh, just put
the fist up, and
we'll back off.
And there's still stuff that like I am still figuring out myself. Like I don't know the answers to.
And that's why we really do appreciate you being here, doing this with us and breaking
this down. We said before that you could join us. You could become a part of this. At least hope you said, Liz could be a part of the show. She fits in with us very well. She can be here rocking with us. Because I'm going to say this, Liz. I'm going to say this, and I hate to say this, but we have a list of people that we think could possibly, bad things could occur. And Phil thinks it's going to be you. No.
Yeah, I do. Because I care about you so much, because they've made me care about you so much. On
and
if anything happens to you, Tony and I are officially inviting you to join the podcast full time.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
But unfortunately.
But we don't want that.
No, of course not. They think you should be throughout the show. But when we look at the tiers of... If someone's going to pass away, a major character has to be someone that we all care about.
Yeah.
You are the number one person that we would care about more
don't
than
let anything
anybody
happen.
Else that would really hit anyone. So for that reason...
I think we're hurting her.
Yeah, you're on the top tier of something bad happening. You, then Ellis is next, and I think Foxy Ma behind them.
We
don't believe in a wedding. You don't think the wedding's happening. Or if it happens.
Live chat is turning on us, Tony. No killing Donna.
We're not saying anything.
Live chat is officially turned on us, Tony.
You've gone too dark.
Yes,
so people like Sarah can go. Again, you know, I'm sure there's people that could go.
No, we mean this as a compliment in the sense that you're the heart of the show. And when things start to get dark, usually the heart goes at some point. So we'll just leave it there. So as we're underground still, we see they're underground and this is where we start to find weird stuff. We talked a little bit about this. We hear...
start to find weird stuff.
Where we see more weird... There's a blanket. What was up with the blanket and the nightgown that they found, that Tabitha found?
I don't know.
But why are they...
What is that?
Yeah, the thing about these creatures. Now, I've seen it. I don't know. So I'm looking at it like I'm in the Game of Thrones when they first did the original White Walkers. Right? They were horrible. And then they did the second ones, and they made them look different. These ones, now first season, they look good, but these ones, now we're really seeing them, it looks much better. I think it's more of an upgrade on the show of the way they look right now, because now they look even better than they looked last season and everything else from the real quick clips they showed them and stuff. And we got probably got a good chance to, to really hear him out and see him and stuff. But there are unique things in there that I think I know what's going on there. The way they put certain items with people and stuff like that, that I see what they're trying to do. But the veins and the fingernails, these long fingernails, and their clothes is dirty as hell. Because when we see that milkman, he's as clean. When they see him out there, they're clean. They're always, their clothes are always clean. And even when we had, and we're going to have her on the channel, the Jasmine Monster, she's going to be on the channel next week. And she, when she got blood on her, she tried to clean that blood off her in that scene. Like you've seen her trying to wipe it off. And now we see them in there, and their clothes is dirty as hell. I mean, their clothes is filthy. It's filthy, as it should be. You know, I do think that they have some type of camouflage or glamoring ability that they're able to do. Why, we don't know yet, and everything else. People are saying they cast illusions. Something's going on with them. We'll talk more about that glamour and everything else on the theory stream.
And someone in the live chat also mentioned, and I want to know what you guys think of that. Was that Tabitha's own clothes? Was she looking at her own nightgown that someone had her?
Was it a nightgown or a wedding dress?
I wondered if it was a wedding dress.
Okay, it was a wedding dress.
I don't know that. I thought maybe it was a wedding dress.
Maybe it was her own wedding dress. Because it seemed like she knew what it was.
That's what it seemed like.
She's like, what the F is this doing here? Kind of thing going on right there.
Well, she had two. She has the bracelet that was there in town. That was her. So if it was her wedding dress, then that would make sense that it could be her wedding dress.
Some people in the live chat, some people say honeymoon dress. And Big Daddy says they thought it was her nightgown. Betrayed King, she recognized it for sure. She recognized the luggage. Someone said maybe it was her parents' stuff.
She didn't recognize it. It's not her luggage, because that luggage had a ticket sticker. Right? See, this is what I do. I'm crazy. I go through all this. I pull up the screenshot. I make it blow it up. I do all this craziness. It had a ticket for the World Fair in there, on there. And it's no way she was able to have gone to that World Fair.
Compliments to the prop department for attention to detail, knowing they're dealing with people like you, Tony. That's really good.
Oh, yeah.
Our prop department is awesome.
Props to the prop department.
I like it. Good fun. So we get a boy in the white mentioned, but we don't see the boy in white, as Victor tells him. He helped him through. We go off to Christy, right? Back at Colony House, fixing and stitching up that person's eye that got hurt during the glass. Donna says, another great line from Liz tonight. Donna says, if you're not bleeding, you better be securing some goddamn windows. And she's taking a quick coffee break from saving everyone's life for 5 seconds. And then she's like, grab the shotguns. Let's go down and deal with this bus situation. And Kenny's like, wait. We don't need shotguns. We could do this with peace and love. And Donna's like, listen, dude. She just breaks down the truth to him. Boyd could have picked the worst time to go. We don't know how many people are going there.
Safari. He went on safari, boy. He went to go hunt some.
He went on walkabout.
He's over here. That's the great escapes, the great adventures, the sightseeing with these animals. This is a great time to go, boy. Thanks a lot, buddy.
And he's like, shape up or ship out, Kenny. Be on my side. Get on in, Kenny. When the time comes, you better be able to step up. And we talked about that earlier, too. And Donna also leads the way and says it's about to meet some new friends as we go and meet the new folks, as Randall is pissed. And then we see that one person. I don't know who she is, too, or if she's going to be a main character. I loved seeing the hippie dancing.
That
almost seemed like an improv to me, or if, I don't know if it was directed or it was beautiful, whatever it was.
It was beautiful. And you will see more of her. She probably, it was in the script, but Deb Grover, who plays the part, is just a lovely dancing lady. Like, she just is. So she just improvised that.
So it's such a cool, it reminded me of me in the rain at a hippie show. You know, I'm just like,
I would have stayed on the bus when it's raining like that. Like, why are they all standing outside the diner's club? Like, you send one person out. Diamond's closed. It's raining. I'm going back in the bus. Instead, they all just stand outside in the rain.
It probably reeked on the bus.
Yeah, puked. It probably reeked of puke.
It's probably reeking.
All right. Well, we'll go with the reek.
And the bus driver was trying to get everyone out of there. But yeah.
Scraggle Tape Shop. That's a hilarious comment. That's why I highlighted
it. What did they say?
It was the Lewinsky dress.
He says the Lewinsky dress that was in the box.
He finally found the Lewinsky dress. The sun finally does come out as everyone in the bus is, or they're on the bus taking care of Elgin, or the other medical person, the person that's totally not going to be Kenny's girlfriend's girlfriend. Yeah. As the bus driver is like, everyone off, and she says she's a pediatric nurse. We learn his name, Elgin, and the girl asks him if he knows where. And this was a really creepy line. She goes, "Do you know where we are?" And he turns and goes, "Do you know? Like, because I know where we're at. We're in the next level of hell right now. I don't know if you know where we're at, nurse lady." And it was a great moment, and it feels like this kid's gonna be the biggest character of the new group, but I could be wrong. It does seem like they're setting him up as
they're giving him a something, you know. And
yeah, which, yeah, yeah.
Go ahead, Liz.
He'll feature.
He has a feature. Okay, awesome. That's
we got some great new characters.
He was on the red carpet, so you know what I mean.
He was.
He was on the red carpet. That's what I look for. If I see you on that red carpet, then I know something's going on. Especially when you do. That's what I see. I was like, all right, he's pimping on the red carpet. I see you up there, 44. I see you. That means you got something special going on with you. That could fill mean the end of Sarah, because when I look at people who could pass away, you have to have someone to take their spot. And Sarah's whole thing is that she's speaking to these people. If he can get the same business to speak to these people, Sarah's got a lot of blood on her hands. People mm-hmm. cannot be happy about that. If they do find out that she's eventually there, it's going to be hell to pay for her. So maybe this is a way to get Sarah gets got, and this guy takes over for her. It could be a situation like that.
Interesting. Frank in the live chat says Elgin woke up like he'd been there before, and we can't ask her this because it's spoilers, but you know, I'll verbalize it. Tony, can you ask Donna if Kenny's gonna get some this season? We cannot ask her that question. We cannot
No, but she knows that we are, you know, she knows the line. We have said this from the beginning, and I have said this now. I'll tell you, Kenny ain't getting nowhere, he ain't getting nothing. It's not gonna happen. I told you that. I told y'all last season when I seen that the plates on that bus, that this girl was on that bus, and then we see her on this bus right there. So poor Kenny. Hey, in real life, he's doing swell.
Yeah. Right. Doing right. Tonight they introduced the idea of hashtag sad Kenny.
Oh, did you see his face?
He was so sad.
It was such a beautiful scene.
It was a beautiful scene. His face, it was like, oh.
Oh, no, those actresses, they played that quivering lip very well. Like, that's not easy to do. I know a lot of people, you see it, and to put emotion that you haven't seen someone in an amount of time and you care for them, they both did that, both of them. They did a very good, like, because that could look cheesy, or it could really look cheesy if it's not done right, right? And they both sold it very well. I think they
did were a
great job on
that. Yeah, they were great. And also Jack Bender, who directed most of the episodes, certainly the first two. Jack will not ever let you do cheesy.
Nice.
I know, because I've been called on it.
What have you? When was this? What season?
Oh, it doesn't make camera.
Was it the last season or this season?
When we were shooting this season, and it was only once. Actually.
He's just like, give me a better take with less cheese. Basically,
don't do that. That's cheesy.
Nice. I was like,
yeah, I know it was. It's sometimes as an actor, you kind of go, I don't know if I'm doing, and should I do another moment here? Is there another moment you want to see? And you try something, and sadly, sometimes it makes it into the show. But Jack did one thing, and he said, "No, please don't." And I was, I like, guess, "You're right."
You know, and sometimes I guess maybe you don't know unless you're looking at it on film. Like, you do it, but the fact that he can see it and how it comes out in that box when he's looking through the box, that it could look different than when you're actually doing
That's
it.
That's why a director is so important, especially it's one you trust as an actor, because you get that visual person that's watching you from the outside and looking at your instrument, because you're not always aware what you're doing on the inside.
Yeah, no, sometimes you don't know that you are reading as something different than what they're, you know, than what you think or what they're looking for. And actually, the moment I'm talking about, it was also something you've seen, like it was a look that I did. And it was something that you go, oh, man, we've seen that on so many TV shows through the 80s and 90s. And we don't need to see it again. Yeah. And he was like, yeah. And that's exactly what he said it was. So he's a big part. All our directors have been fabulous this season.
And that's awesome.
Six of them, and then we had two other directors. Brad and Lexi came on, and they were all great.
That's awesome that the showrunner gets to direct too and kind of set the standard for the whole season in the way that's on what he wants and kind of set the feel as well too.
Yeah, Jack and Jeff Pintner and John, who created it, John Griffin, those three worked together, the three J's. They worked really closely together to build this.
Being a boner. I mean, Bonner. I'm sorry.
We gotta go.
Yeah, wait.
I'm drinking.
Like what it was.
Yeah. I'm drinking. I'm celebrating season two.
This is like, on that note, I gotta go.
Celia, thank you for subscribing. Welcome to the family. Can we ask you, I'm not sure, but I heard it was season three confirmed?
Not confirmed, no.
All right.
But I'm not, I'm really hopeful.
Yeah, well, we were here last year, right? And we said the same exact thing. We weren't sure. And then it worked. So now we're saying again this year, it's manifesting. It worked last time.
If I was a betting man, I would say yes.
I would say too, especially with the upgrade of the monsters and the more. It seems like they spent more money this season. So they must have got a bump in the budget for costumes.
So many things got bumped this season. I mean, it's really, I've seen the first five episodes. Just like in screeners, like they're not finished. And it's just like, oh yeah, everything's been tightened up and it's a whole new level of things. And the monsters are fantastic.
Oh, I can't wait.
They are. I mean, my girlfriend's saying don't call her a monster. She just whispered that in my ear. I'm like, you know, be called a monster. She said she's an alien. But anyway, besides that.
Oh, what?
creature.
I wasn't calling her a monster.
She's a creature. Right girl. Yeah, there you go.
So Chris Evans puked on his shirt guy. Elgin doesn't want to go outside, and the nurse is going to stick around. We cut to Julie looking for their family. Ellis is following her and looks around and runs off as even, I don't know about you guys, we haven't talked about him today. Even though he gets trapped in the house, I feel like this bartender is all kinds of shady this episode, showing up at the right time, stopping Ellis from going over to the house and be like, let me go with these new people that aren't going to know me over to the house. He's in the house. When the house falls down, he's conveniently saved too. I don't know. I know he got crushed in the house too, but I still don't trust
Everybody
him.
Hates the bartender for some reason. No one trusts him.
I don't trust him.
No one trusts this guy.
Really? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Everyone thinks he's a mole. Everyone believes there's a mole in the town.
Yeah, and he's the one.
It's him or Fatima. It's the mole.
Yeah, I'd heard that about her. Yeah. I hadn't heard that about him.
Oh, yeah. They think he's the mole. Look at the chat right now. Everyone's the bartender.
Or no, the bartender will save the bartender, save the world. But he had a lot more to do in this episode, too, than last season as well. And I thought he was really good in this episode. I think the actor adds a lot of personality. And I think he adds a little bit of sassafras, in threat of a better word. And seems like he has some stuff going on. I think that's what adds the mystery to him a little bit. But he could just be someone that's even more institutionalized or more used to this place. But he's awfully interested. I think that's what people, but he has a little bit of a busybody nature. At least that's what it gets with me, that he wants to get his finger in everything to a certain extent.
I think when they upgrade, I think it's not going to be good for the bartender. When I look at the way they do things on television and everything else, from the what he got and what where they positioned him with Jade and stuff, and the way he was explaining stuff to Jade, and they were having their little philosophy thing about Schrodinger's cat and everything else, which is very important. And then all of a sudden he shows up in his first episode, and he didn't show up in the last episode. He was gone. He didn't want no part to do with the tower or anything. He just stayed inside his thing. But then he shows up here and he jumps in there. I don't know about this character. When they do that to people, it just seems to me that either he's going to have a long reign on the show or a short reign on the show. I'm not sure exactly. But when they step it up like that, it just seems to me that they're putting him in focus for some reason. And it's either for you to remember him for some reason, whether it's remember him for he going to get got, or remember him and care about him before he goes, or remember him because he's got a whole bunch of stuff to play. So we'll see how it plays out with the bartender. But, you know, I don't know. He's a little, something is going
a little,
on.
A little suspect going on there. Yeah, let's take a couple more voicemails. This is from area code 318.
Hey, Phil. And Tony, it's my second time today. I didn't realize we got to speak to the Colony House Queen today.
But can you pause
Thank
this
you right so here? Much for your
First off, it was, hey, Phil.
And Tony.
I heard it. Don't think I didn't hear that. I heard that. And then it's on the flyer. It says she's going to be on it. I don't understand it. All right, let's go back.
Amazing portrayal. My question for you is, how tough is it to get that strength in your voice and that strength in your body when you play that part? You're amazing. You do such an awesome job.
Thank you so much. Theater training, darling, is where the voice comes from.
Reach the back of the house.
Back of the house. Yeah, no, theater training. And I'm actually quite a quiet person, but there's a loud side of me. I don't know why, but there is this loud side of me. And I find getting into that body is actually one, like, to get in there makes it just easier to be Donna. So I go, okay, here she is. I have to step into that body. And so it's pretty easy. There's some days it's harder to maintain than others, especially if I'm feeling unsure of myself. Donna doesn't leave me a lot of room to feel unsure.
Yeah, I mean, I think that must have been good last season to have that one episode where Donna was a little down the dumps, and you could play a little down and maybe pull back on the throttle. But even when you were down, Donna's full all the way down. You know, there is no chill within the character of Donna, really. So it must be very, you know, full body intense to play that character all the time.
Yeah. Like, I'm sort of surprised by it myself when I see her. Like I have a bit of like, who's that? Like, I'm not like, oh my God, I can't even recognize myself.
No, but your body language is far different. Your shoulders seem a little Your shoulders seem broader. I don't know if it's the way they dress you, but talking to you now a second time, you just see so many differences between you and the way they frame it and your cadence and your vocal cadence and everything. There is a transformation that probably helps.
Yeah, she has a different body energy than me. At least I'd like to think so.
Oh, 100%.
No, but it's also, you know, the way they dress me and, you know, it's, yeah, I mean, I love embodying her. I love doing it.
And you get the shotgun, you get the axe. I mean,
I did that. Like, if someone had said, like, you know, like, had said to me, this is what you're going to get to do in this part, I would be like, what? because I haven't.
Yeah, this is play.
I've shot a gun once in my life.
Well, you do it. Well, you do it on screen very, very naturally. Speaking of natural and wonderful voices, this is from our longtime caller, the voice of 916.
Yes.
Hello. This is the voice at 916. Hi, Tony. Hi, Phil. What an episode. Oh, my God. This is the show. And I'm so glad we were fortunate enough to catch it early.
Thank you.
I thought the best part of the episode was Ethan and Jade's conversation. There was so many nuggets of information that were involved in that. And I just like their chemistry as well. You get Jade, Ethan, and Victor. That's a dream team waiting to happen.
And oh, Bonnie, yeah.
She is.
Yeah, they are. We'll pause and we'll get back. They are a dream team waiting to happen. Oh, and yeah. I think when you get into someone like Jade to add gasoline to the kid energy of Victor and Ethan, that's going to be a dangerous situation.
Yeah, I think it will be.
Yeah, it's
and sad. I'm not saying that I know anything. Like, I think that is potentially volatile.
Yes, the powder kid waiting to happen. It's like if you put that the capability of Jade with childlike believing the children in there, which again, Victor and Ethan maybe are on the pulse of it, maybe they're, but they definitely have that kid perspective. That's just a dangerous setup.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Sarah. He needs to get with Sarah, Jade. When he finally finds Sarah, I think that's when it all will start to unlock and stuff. Sarah's the key.
Sarah's another one, Tony.
Sarah's the key. Jade's locked up right now. Sarah's the key, right? So Sarah's speaking to somebody, right? So what we believe, and Liz, you don't have to confirm this, obviously, but this is what I believe. So it's different people here. We have your characters who are trapped in there. Then you have the creatures who are sleeping underneath the ground, right? That's two. To me, after that, then you have the people who are speaking to Sarah. That's three different sets of people there that she's getting voices from that said that they're being held prisoner and they want to go home too. And then you have the people above them all that are holding them prisoner. So there's four groups of people that we're dealing with here in this show, in my opinion. It's four groups of people.
Yeah.
And we shall see how it'll go. And this ZZ Top guy at the end, I don't know who... which one he falls into. that's the skinniest ZZ Top I've ever seen.
He's got legs and he knows how to use them, Tony. He definitely does. Let's continue with 916 here.
I was thinking, I go, he sounds like Jim Ignatowski.
He does sound like Iggy. He did sound like Iggy.
I love it. It's a good care, and it'll give you some info.
Love the taxi reference, Liz. Love it. Such a powerhouse cast there, Taxi, with Danny DeVito and Christopher Lloyd every week. Oh. Getting to see them
speaking about Taxi real quick, but Judd Hirst is from my neighborhood. He grew up in my neighborhood up in Taxi. So he grew up in my neighborhood. Let neighbors called Leicester. His father was an electrician. In order to live in this neighborhood, you had to be an electrician. It was a predominantly Jewish neighborhood I grew up in, and Judd Hirst is from that neighborhood.
Awesome.
So he used to come back around and shake everyone's hand, and you wouldn't even know he was famous. The guy, you wouldn't even know anything. He's just a guy walking around the block.
It's good to hear. Good to hear. And he seems like just an everyday kind of guy. And great show. If you haven't watched it, if you like sitcom comedies, definitely check out Taxi. And especially if you're a Danny DeVito fan and want to see like where Danny DeVito got his start, because you get a lot of Danny DeVito on that show.
Anna, she is bad.
You.
She gets the award and she shot out that tire. She ain't got time for no bullshit. It's time. Get inside the diner. I love her. She is definitely one.
Thank you so much.
And give this woman a voicing actor job, please. This is the greatest voice I've heard. Someone needs to just hire her just to do their promos already. I mean, geez. I don't know how many times we got to call in. Give this woman a job. Unless you already have a job.
And this is area code 818.
Hi, from Los Angeles. I have a question for Liz. If there is anything that the writers, like a storyline that the writers could give Donna, what would you love to have them do?
Oh, my God.
Ooh, tough one.
That's a great question. My husband, who plays Dale in the show, is going... something about building Dale into the show.
Make Dale
right next to you right now.
Regular. We're all.
You can come on. I don't know. Like, you know, it's a hard, there's so many places we could go. I would love to give you a great answer to this question because it's such a good question. I would love more stuff with, it's, I think is what it is. I would love more stuff with Boyd. I would, I'd love more stuff with everybody, with also something with Victor.
All right,
like just finding out some other sides of Donna.
You see, your husband's character is sneakily—he's sneaky important to me. Like he's sneaky
important.
Like he said some things that people probably not paid attention to, or they look at the big things that he was said because he was there from the beginning. When you were hiding out there with Boyd, he was there. He was back there, right? I think people overlook his character because they see he got into beef with Ellis and then you knocked him out and everything else. And I know you told the director, let's do that again real quick. Can we run that back? I know you did like 5 times. You hit him.
I'm going to need another take on that. I'm going to need another take.
I need another one. The guy has to mess with me. Right? So, but he says some things in there when he starts talking about that they're inside of a pocket dimension and doing everything. And I don't think that was a throwaway line. Then he says specifically in there, I could teach you guys something if you paid attention to me. And I don't think that was a throwaway line because I don't think people are paying attention to him. He's paying attention to his character and stuff he's saying. So I do think he's very important. And I would like to see him come back. Hopefully they do have him back and everything else on the show and everything else. You know, but I think it's, he said some sneaky things in there. They gave him a couple of sneaky lines that I dissected and stuff. We'll see. If it's true or not, but we'll go through that. You have any other? Go ahead. You have something to say? No. All right, Phil. Do you have?
Yes, I can continue. We got more. I just wanted to point out this comment that Mara has that I think this is a good one. I want Donna and Dale to hook up. I think...
I just read that. They already have.
It already happened. Too late for that.
And have two kids. By the way, guys, I'm sort of glancing over at the chat, and there's so many great comments and questions.
Yeah, that's why I get distracted by it sometimes. You know,
I wish I could answer all of them, but I am seeing them, and I really appreciate them.
I do, and I wish we could highlight all of them, but again, we're not going to keep her here all night. It's 11:45 p.m., but we'll go like 15 more minutes. Probably won't be able to do a lot of more recap. We'll come back on Wednesday and we'll talk some more.
Should we focus on getting through as many of the voicemails?
Let's get through the call. The people are here to talk to Donna.
And we broke it down. There's not much else to talk about this episode in the sense of everything. We'll just lead to the end part where Boyd finally climbs his way up and he bumps into ZZ Top, the guy from the Unforgiven video or whatever you want to call that guy hanging from the wall. And I think the one piece of information to ask about that is how did he throw down the rope if he was tied to the wall?
He couldn't have thrown that. He's got some.
Bring that up before we
couldn't see his toenails. The fingernails are outrageous. Toenails we can't see, but you know it has to be some type of telekinesis situation that he has the ability to do, or there's someone in that room that we didn't see that threw the rope down. This is all Floyd. This is all a plot and everything else. So it can't be anything else. His legs are chained to the wall. He's lonely. His legs.
He's Mr. Fantastic from the Fantastic Four. He did like a stretch move or something.
Stretch.
And I'm going to say this. I'm going to
stretch arms on
real quick. I told y'all he was in the well. Everyone laughed at me when I said he was in the well because he said really square shape. And I said that the rope, when you looked at that picture, the rope came directly from the middle. And if it was a rope from the side that someone touched, it would be touching the side and you would see it leaning over. The fact in the picture that it came directly down, only thing I remember when I was little watching cartoons was always a well with a bucket that came directly down. And I was right. So, to all you people, I thought I was wrong.
I guess the only other possibility would be that guy knows how to get out of his chains. And then he went back in his chains so he wouldn't, by the time Boyd got to the top, so he wouldn't be caught. But that doesn't make sense because then he'd be able to kill himself.
He has no energy. You see this.
Right, and he'd be able to kill himself at that point. He would be throw himself down the well or hang himself with that rope if he could get off. You know,
he's saying he wants to die. He wants him to kill him. Right, that was the case. He could have killed himself.
It's probably somebody else is in there, and this is part of the energy. Donna, do you have any thoughts without spoiling anything?
I have thoughts that are brewing. Because the first time I saw it, I didn't even clock that. And then the second time when I watched it at the premiere, I went, oh yeah, like it came from nowhere. But while you guys were talking, I was thinking about how when Tabitha was digging the hole and it collapsed, and last season I was like, why is there a hole above? Like, she's digging on the first floor and goes down, but there's a shot from above.
From above, yeah.
A hole, and Jim says, I think it's in the first episode, but it's like, what, or somebody says, what made that hole?
Yes, that was, that wasn't Jim, it was someone else who came inside the house who said that.
Yeah.
But yes, that was.
Said like, that's two things now that we've seen. I don't know if they're related or
not. Yeah, that is interesting.
Two things where we're like, okay, there's something coming from above. From
above, yeah,
something above. I told y'all what it is. Just listen to me.
There's so much
what's going on in this thing. I'm not gonna go through it all. Just watch my videos. I told you what this is. There's only one thing that explains this whole situation of how it all goes down. There's only one way it all goes. Do we have anything else, bro?
Beer Warp, we're going to get to it. We got a bunch of voicemails we'll get to. But Beer Warp in the live chat said someone was hiding in the corner, duh. And Donna, you're an amazing actress. Salute to you. Does Victor ever get any more peaches? No, we'll have to see. With spoiler, will Victor get any more damn peaches?
I'm not telling anybody about peaches.
No, you can. And someone else says, real talk though, Donna, Liz, you're hands down the coolest character. But let's get to a couple of voicemails so before we have to let Liz go for the evening. This is area code 914.
Hey, Elizabeth, great show tonight. I enjoyed you so much.
Oh,
I just
want
to comment about Randall, I think he is. I think one, he served in probably the military or the army. And I also think he's going to be the one, as you guys said, to go and help like capture what he featured. I think that they're going to go into the cave where Tabitha and Victor came out, and they're going to try to get them while they're sleeping, at least one of them, like put them in a bag or something. I don't know. But yes, a great show tonight, and good night.
Thank you.
That's what I would do. I'll tell you straight up, if I knew where they were at and they're sleeping, we got to go up in that cage and grab one of them up. Because in the end, no matter who you're fighting, whatever it is, and this is the way it is, you got to capture one of these things and you got to start practicing on it.
Tony.
Can you put fire up its butt and kill it? Whatever it takes, you need to do these experiments to start hiding from it. And as I said, hopefully this is the guy who would do it, who would be willing to do that, to galvanize a bunch of people to go do something like that. Because especially you got to start playing offense. You can't play defense.
Right? You got to put one in a body bag, Johnny. You got to do it. It has to be.
What did Arnold Schwarzenegger say in Predator?
If it can bleed, we can kill it.
That's it. You need to find it.
area code 613.
Hi, Canada. And I would like to know.
This call's coming through a little quiet. Let me see if I can hear it through.
See the monsters eating Megan's
father. I'll read it. I would like to know, when we see the monsters eating Megan's father in the trailer, you can see that they're pale, wearing the clothes, and they have no hair. But the monsters in the cave look different, and they're dirty. They have hair and clothes. This is basically what you were saying, Tony. Do the monsters just look different underground when they and they have a glamour when they go out? Is there a closet that they go through and pick out the nice outfits? It's just a little confusion on how that works. And
I think it's upgraded, and when they got more money to do a better budget, you put out the first season. You don't know exactly how it's going to go, so you save budget and save certain things. But they have the same characteristics with their fingernails and the teeth. I think after that, when they got more money and the budget went up, they were able to fully put the monsters out the way they intentionally did. Again, if you look at Game of Thrones and the White Walkers, go Google Game of Thrones White Walkers number one season. It looks like Cookie Monster. It truly looks like Cookie Monster, the monster. And then look at how they came out after that. They fixed it up and they got a bigger budget and stuff. So I truly believe that that's what it is. I don't think it's something different than that. I think that that's just, they just had a bigger budget and they can actually show you exactly what they want you to see him. Because in the first season, you got a couple of shots. You got when the Father Khatri dies, you get that shot of the changing monster. You get the shot when they go inside the where they kill the guy in the box, and you get the grandma monster. And then that's really what you see. You see a little bit of Jasmine But that's all they really show you in this. This is them just laid out, just sleeping on the side. So I think this is why they did that. That's just my opinion.
And let's try to get through as many of these voicemails in the next few minutes that we have left. Yeah. Area code 910.
Yes, this is Roland from North Carolina. My question is, do you think that the older guy chained up is one of the creators of the place, and he rebelled against the other creators and started helping the people in the town, and they can create things with their minds, so that's how he created the rope. And that's why he got chained up, because he started helping people. And he's also projecting a younger version of himself to Victor and Ethan. Thank you.
Interesting. So you're saying that he's one of these, like
he's Victor. This same.
He's like Professor X-y kind of, like these a bunch of monster or overlords that can create things with their mind, and he's one of the ones that maybe helped the townsfolk, and he's been captured by the other ones of his dudes, and that's how he created the rope with his mind to help Boyd out. Interesting. I don't think that's the case, but that's interesting.
It is. I love that theory, though.
Me too. Great theory. Great theory. 100%. I can't.
I like that.
You know, I don't know if that's. I don't know if that's what it is, but it's very, very good theory and very interesting that he was one of the town creators and stuff. Everyone, y'all been on this channel. Y'all know I think this is some experiment that's going on here with these townspeople and everything else, and whether he's behind it or not, but we shall see in the future episodes, but we can't tell from this.
Yep. Right?
Thank you for the super chat. Yeah, super chat from Mika Lee says, Elizabeth just saw you in Schitt's Creek. What is it? Am I saying this wrong?
Yeah, now? Schitt's Creek. That's the comedy movie with Eugene Levy.
I'm nervous after saying that one person's name wrong.
Great show. I didn't know you were in. I just did
an episode. I did one episode. And they asked me if I wanted to do this little part, and I was like, they said it was with Catherine O'Hara, and I was like, of course.
Was it an improv scene, or did you actually have a script to do? Did they give
there
you
were script? There was script. But it was like it was script, but I got to play like really drunk, like this drunk woman that wanted to party hard with her.
With Mara, or whatever her name is. Oh, that's amazing.
Thank you, Mika Lee, for the super chat.
She's like a big, she's my comedy hero. I grew up, we in Canada, there was a
SCTV.
SCTV, and it was huge here. And so anybody of my generation grew up with them. And
yeah, her, Rick Moranis, John Candy.
Andrea Martin.
Eugene Levy.
Yeah.
They all were. As big as SNL was, SCTV was even bigger in Canada.
Yeah. It was huge.
And that's what I was a big fan of John Candy and Rick Moranis. I mean, all those people, but those two specifically. So,
how can't you love John Candy?
I watched all that. I made it a point to watch all that stuff at the time. Yeah, John Candy. He's just.
I've watched Cam Candy.
He actually shows up. John Candy actually shows up in Home Alone in that one scene. I guess he worked basically for free in that one scene with Catherine O'Hara in the airport where he brings her home. He's the one that brings her home. And that was just because he was a friend and he was in town, and he jumped on the set and they were like, we work for an hour, and they kept him there for like 16 hours or something like that. And John Candy he did it all. And I guess they were very friends. Anyway, sorry to go on a John Candy rant here for a second, but. Area code 512.
Hey, this is Prometheus Williams from Austin, Texas. Great show, guys. Donna, you're amazing.
Thank you.
Hey, I believe the man chained to the wall is a feeder. I believe he can't die. He's immortal. But I think those creatures feed on him when people aren't in the town. That's why he can't die. I think he is probably one of those creatures. And he's down there, the light can't get to him. I believe that's what he's used for.
Interesting. I like
what
that.
Did you call him? You think he's a what?
Feeder.
A feeder?
Yes.
Feeding off of things and feeding off of energy. Interesting.
Yeah, this people above. So I said there's four layers of people, I do believe, that's going on there. So he's saying the top layer of person is feeding off this person when he can't feed off the tower. It doesn't seem like they're feeding him. It just seems like they're keeping him alive to torture him. I mean, that would be the only reason. Like, it seems like doing it like it's a game to them. Again, and also when you deal with the creatures, the creatures that they call, it seems like, you know, it's a game to them too. Like in the beginning, when they first seen this, they used to scream a lot. Then they stopped screaming. Maybe the screams didn't work. But in the beginning, they were screaming. Oh, people were scared. Then they realized, like, oh, people ain't scared of us, and we ain't gonna scream no more.
Yep.
And they walk. They don't never run and everything else, you know. So it seems like it's a game to them too. You know, the smile monster, he's inside Colony House. He drips the blood on the guy from his mouth. He never do. They could have walked right down there and grabbed up more people. You know, and again, I've told all you people before, and I'm going to tell you again before we go, I'm going to tell you again. In any movie you ever seen, when you have creatures, zombie creatures or anything like this, you actually see these creatures eating the bodies. You have seen them chew the bodies, chew the flesh is in their mouth. We have not seen these creatures eat any of these bodies yet. We've seen Jasmine get a tongue in her mouth and spit it right out. So let's not assume that these creatures are eating these people, because we have no idea if they're eating. Because if they have, they probably would have shown them eat it. We haven't seen them eat anybody. Yeah. We've seen the bodies ripped out. We've seen the organs gone. But we've never seen anybody actually get eaten. So yeah. I don't know if they're actually eating these people. I don't know if that this could be a organ harvest type situation and just grabbing the organs and bringing them to somebody else. We shall see later on and stuff like that. But as for feeding, we've never seen these creatures actually eat anything yet. Maybe we will. But we
I agree with what Luna just said in the live chat. They feed on fear. Two things. This is from area code 573. How do you feel about the world reacting to their efforts to fix? I'll just read this one because how many times did you say "shut up, Tabitha" while watching? I think some people were screaming in the underground tunnels. I think a lot of people were yelling "shut up, Tabitha" while watching.
A chatty patty. She would not stop talking to them.
And
we
probably have time for a couple more. We have a couple of short voicemails we can get to here. We don't want to keep Liz.
Yeah, then we're out of here.
So area code 901.
Hi, yeah, this is Ramadan Musa. I'm from Memphis, Tennessee. Yeah, Don, I was just wondering, at what point, when did you know this show was going to be a hit or, you know, pretty well off? In the middle of the film, was it middle of the show, after the first season? Was it while you were first casting for it? When did you know the show was pretty good?
There's two questions there. When did you know it was, I guess when you know it was a hit, you never really know, but when did you know it was good? Work.
I knew it was, I knew it was good, like when I first got it. Like I was like, when I got my first script, I loved the character of Donna the second I got the auditions, but I didn't have a lot of material. But when I got the first scripts, I was like, this is cool. I really dig this. As for it being a hit, like, cause you don't know, like you don't know if stuff is gonna hit with people. But I think when I saw the first several episodes, I thought there's a really good chance for this.
And I guess it was probably, and I'm answering for you, like a butthead, but I guess it was probably even more so at this premiere for season two, whereas season one, you're almost separated from it. Everything was still connected to the closures and shooting the season. And it really like going to the premiere, what we were talking about before we started with it being added to Amazon and more people watching it.
And I didn't even clock the Amazon. I'm up in Canada, so I didn't clock that it had gone onto Amazon in the States. So I only found out about that a few days ago.
And I'm going to apologize for myself and Tony for multiple tonight calling you Donna. It's instead of calling you Liz or Elizabeth.
You know what? On set, everybody does it to me. And I'm like, it's okay.
Yeah, it's we beat it as a compliment. And I guess for our last voicemail of the night, this is from area code 305.
Hi, this is Michelle from Key Largo. I just wanted to say thank you guys for your show. It was awesome seeing Riz the Saunders. I love the first episode. It was so awesome. And congratulations. I just can't wait for the rest of the shows. I love you guys. Bye.
I want to be partying like that, where that caller's partying. This sounds like she's having a great time there. And thank you so much, area code 305.
Without a shadow of doubt. All right, we're going to wrap this up right now. We're, again, thank all you people for coming out here. We'll be here every Sunday when the show is over, probably 10 o'clock. We have to move back a little bit because Harold was doing his thing and everything else. And we have to, you know, we're not trying to step on his toes or anything like that. We got to be trying to support this show. Show this, the cast and everyone know that we love the show. Show MGM to keep the show on the air and just try to do our best to pump up the hype for this show and let more people know about it.
And Tony, if anyone called and left a voicemail or a text that we didn't get to, Tony and I will get to it on Wednesday evening.
Yeah, we'll be back on Wednesday, and the Wednesday will be the full spoiler theory stream. We'll go all in and everything else on that. Y'all know how I do. And we'll talk about everything. We'll figure everything out then. Again, next week we'll have somebody else on here. So make sure you subscribe to the channel and hit the thumbs up for your boys out here. Right, Liz, we love you so much. And
that's
not just saying it. That is true. You have been, you know, from first time of contact, you've been 100% with us and always been down just to rock with us. And we ain't nobody. And you really just want to really, truly, truly appreciate it. Again, if unfortunately something happens to you,
you're not going to keep saying that, Tony.
No, don't manifest that into existence.
No manifesting
that. You're going to turn the crowd against us. We have 200, almost 250 people watching still right now. Right. We'll turn them all against us if we say
I'm going to say you have a home right here.
You have a home. I agree. Yeah. You're always in a home.
You have a home here. You know what I mean? Well, and yes, if something happens to you, we're going to riot. We're definitely going to riot.
I would like to keep my home in Frontville, but I'm always up to visit.
Thank you.
And I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight too. And I thank you for all the fantastic comments, and I wish I could respond to them all. Donna Reed is the villain at the end.
Whoa, Chris. Lock that person in the chat.
Put him in a box. Put Chris in the box.
Put him in the box for the night. Chris goes in the box for the night.
Put him in the box.
Thank you all.
Hopefully you come back before the year's up. You know, I'll be in contact with you if you ever get a chance. Hopefully you get to come back. We'd love to have you. Again, you're a part of the show. We love you on the show. Again, you could be here rocking with me and Phil anytime you want, you know.
Okay. And I love being on.
Well, thank you so much. And if you like the way I do this, please thumbs up this, spread this across the realm, and as always, subscribe. And until next time, you know who it is. Peace and stay sexy.